Hey, what's up, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we've got Flagstaff Regional Operator Sam Sanchez. So she talks a little bit about growing up in Klamath Falls, Oregon, working for Dutch there, and when Kyle Garrett came over to be the regional manager, that was the person that really helped encourage her to pursue her passion of operating for Dutch Bros. So very cool story, awesome person, gives us some cool insight on what she looks for when hiring people and some of the challenges that came about transitioning from manager to regional operator and a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Sam Sanchez podcast. I know why. Hold up, wait a minute. You hang up. Okay, let's try that again. There we go.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me, Sam?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I am okay. Mentally challenged.
No, it's fine. I could just hear you guys like, I can't either. Hold on.
Basically, I'll speak to you in quick nerd. It's imperative that when recording audio that you have input and output set at the same channel. I had your input set to channel 3, but your mic in channel 4.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready, Sam?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm kind of nervous.
Well, we are live coast to coast, 2.8 million people listening at this very moment.
See, I'm terrified.
You're safe over the, Google, actually. Okay, I'm going to kickstart this thing now. You ready?
Okay, I'll stop talking.
No, keep talking. That's why we have you here. It'd be really weird if you didn't talk. Mrs., let's get it straight, Sam Sanchez, all the way down in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Woo!
How the heck are you, Sam?
Woo! So good. How are you guys?
I can't really complain.
Yeah.
So let's kick it off light. What kind of coffee did you first drink at Dutch Bros, and what do you currently drink today?
When I first got hired, I was not much of a coffee drinker, so I really had the sweet tooth.
Uh-huh.
So my first drink was a 2-caramel, 1-white chocolate iced breve.
Ooh.
2-caramel, 1-white chocolate. And that would be to the 9, or that is a 14?
To the 14.
Right, because it's not a kicker.
Yep.
With pure flavor.
Exactly. Yeah.
Breve.
It was definitely a breve.
Wow. And you've always been a pretty thin person.
Well, no, that's where you're wrong. Because I think I would drink like 3 of those every shift. And before you know it, I think I gained like 30 pounds.
What? Come on now.
Yeah. This was before we met, Mark. This was before our time.
Wow.
But yeah, I learned that you really could not drink those all day long. So I immediately switched over to black coffee after I realized I was getting a little chubby.
Wow. But that's pretty extreme then, because you're going from a serious sweet tooth to just straight black coffee. It wasn't like just one scoop of caramel or something.
No, I went straight to black. Decided to just go straight to doing like vegan.
Whoa.
And so I did vegan for a while, and now I am the way I am today.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I guess you sort of hit rock bottom, it sounds like.
My sugar got the best of me, but hey, we live and we learn. I was like, I think 19 or 18 when I got hired, so I was still untouchable.
Right. Well, I was one of those dudes too. Like,
I think everybody is.
I could not gain weight if I tried until I was like 26 years old. Then it all cut up to me, and it was like, oh crap, I got to make better choices.
Yeah, that old age will get you.
Yeah. Where did you first get hired, and when did you first get hired?
So I was hired in 2007.
Dang.
In Klamath Falls. Yeah.
11 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I was in 7th grade.
I'm going to have to edit that out because I want to feel younger.
Yeah. We just hired some people that were born in like 2000. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys.
I don't even want to say it, but I will say it to be vulnerable. That was the year before I graduated high school.
I graduated in 2005. So.
Right. Yeah. So you're not too far behind me.
Nope.
Oh, man. Hey, you know, and a fun fact that a lot of people may not know about you, you have an identical twin sister.
I do.
Really?
Tell us a little bit about that. What's it like being a twin?
Well, we always kind of like switch back and forth roles. She would be the good little daughter, and then I would be like the naughty one, and then we'd like every couple years switch roles. So I'm the good kid now.
I don't believe it.
I know, right? Having someone that's identical to you is just always growing up with like a best friend. Even when we had separate rooms, we would move all of our stuff in the same room so that we would sleep together.
Oh,
and then our
cool.
other room would just be like the spare room. And then of course you get double up on clothes and everything too. So that was always nice.
You guys are still pretty close.
Yeah, definitely. A fun story with us being twins, since we were so identical when we were younger, our parents had wristbands on us, so one with an S for Sam and one for an A for Amanda. And our mom threw us both in the bathtub and gave us a bath, but she took off our wristbands. And when she pulled us out of the tub, she didn't know who was who. So she put the wristbands on us and just took a wild guess. So to this day, we don't know, but I could be actually Amanda and she could be Samantha.
You've been living a lie this whole time.
So we honestly have no idea like who's who.
So welcome to the podcast, Amanda Sanchez. It's been great talking with you.
Exactly.
That's just a testament to exactly how identical you guys are. You look that much alike that even your mother was like, I can't tell you guys apart. That's pretty phenomenal.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
So 2007, you get hired at Kay Falls. At what point did you get promoted into a management position?
It took about 4 years of just being a regular barista. Mm-hmm. I worked mornings, and then I also had two other jobs on top of that.
Ah.
So I did hair, and then I also worked at like a little retail store. So I would do Dutch Bros in the morning, hair in the afternoon, and then work at that retail store at night. So I was like doing 13-hour days of like almost every single day.
Jeez.
And then my 4-year mark came, and then they offered me manager. And so I was like, yep, this is what I want to do. So finally was able to get rid of all the other jobs and just focus on Dutch.
Oh, that's cool. Did you actually bypass like an assistant manager position right into management, or was there like an assistant stepping stone before that?
Yeah, back then we didn't have assistant managers. My first crew being a manager, I think I had 6 people on my crew.
Oh, yeah, the good old days.
There was exactly, yeah, there was not really a need for an assistant manager. So, yeah, I just jumped straight from barista to management.
Yeah, but 4 years, that's definitely paying your dues. At that point, it's like, yeah, I know
sure.
how this Dutch bro thing works. Starting to figure it out. So was it shortly after working as a manager that you realized Dutch Bros might be your career path, or did that come a little bit later?
I worked under a different franchisee at the time, and then we had gone through a little bit of a changeover. At that time of doing the changeover, Kyle Garrett came and Josh Kimsey, amazing crew that came and like helped us get everything switched over and kind of revamp our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came and kind of just gave us a new look on everything. And it was about then when I was like, okay, this might be what I want to do, because they just showed so much more about what we were about and like they actually cared about us versus you know, what we had known in the past. So it was on my 25th birthday, we did like a rafting trip, and Kyle Garrett was asking me, so Sam, when are you going to apply to franchise? And I was like, I don't know if it's right for me. And he's like, no, Sam, like, this is what you want to do. You've got to do this. And I was like, okay, maybe. And he like really just kind of coached me. After that, I just like really pushed for it.
Awesome. Kyle's great at that, you know?
Yeah, he kind of has a way with words that really just inspires you, I guess.
Well, he has a really good way of including you in his world too, because that was always his path, and he had the eye for talent. Like, oh, you know, Sam, she's killing it and she really loves it. Like, this is what she should be doing. That was the time when I met you, obviously, because I was coming down to Kay Falls to kick it with Kyle, and he had that house with like 10 people living in it.
it was freaking awesome. And we had like a birthday party or something there, and somebody broke a brand new TV. And...
Yeah, there's maybe one or two nights got a little too rowdy, but you know, the police never got involved,
right?
So it wasn't too bad. Yeah, it was all in love and good times. And
yeah,
you know, you and Kristen Von Tersch and Mary Matchett, the crew was tight. It was cool. Like, you guys had something special down there in Cave Falls.
Yeah, Kyle like really created a good family for us, and that's like really all it was just hanging out with family. Everyone was really close, so kind of showed us, you know, what we were supposed to be doing.
In those days of like Klamath Falls and everything, who did you look to as like kind of like a mentor or inspiration besides Kyle?
I would definitely say Kristen. Kristen was always like that girl that you could just be very vulnerable with.
Totally.
And also she like let you get wild too. Good on both spectrums of like holding you really accountable for things that you need to do, but also like can totally let loose and have a good time too.
Yeah. And that's important. Sometimes people take stuff way too seriously and you just got to let loose sometimes.
Oh yeah. We work hard. We got to play hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so that was happening. Cave Falls was starting to boom. It was a great crew down there. And then the Flagstaff opportunity came for you to go down and franchise. Talk about the moment when all of a sudden Flagstaff was a reality.
So it was super weird because we were going through the whole process completely different than how we do it now.
Mm.
Probably like we had Flagstaff for like 3 years and we were just waiting on it.
Ooh.
Then I had somebody sent me a picture and they're like, hey, you guys broke ground. And we had no idea that we broke ground in Flagstaff.
Oh. Like, hey, it's happening.
Yeah, because we hadn't moved down there. Like, there was no word on anything. I had called up and I was like, hey, so evidently we broke ground. Like, what's our next step? Yeah, you need to get up here to Grants Pass, like, right now. So It was like the next week I went to Grants Pass and did my training. And then everyone was like, so you're already down there in Flagstaff, right? And I was like, no, like, we haven't moved or anything. And they're like, yeah, you should probably get going. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, so it's like sitting still for years. Then all of a sudden it happens and it's happening like rocket ship fast.
Oh, yeah. It just happened so quick. But I had an awesome crew that moved down with me. And so I think we had like 6 or 7 people that were like, we're going with you, Sam. Like, we're going to help out.
That's
and
dope.
So we just all packed up within like a couple weeks and then just drove down and moved everything in. And we all lived in like a giant house together out in the middle of the woods. It was so crazy, but so much fun because it was so last minute that we just kind of took whatever house we could get.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get internet. We had to have propane heat. We had to have our water hauled out to us.
Oh, jeez.
And so, yeah, so we were like living on rations of like, okay, you have to be really quick with your showers, no washing the dishes. Like, it was insane, but we all made it work and we're all alive.
Yes.
But it was definitely like a little house on the prairie for our first year of living down there.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Mom. Are we going to be able to eat dinner tonight?
Go on down to the watering hole.
Well, there was one point that it had snowed so bad, but we didn't check the propane.
Oh, no.
And in order to get the propane hauled out, we had to get our driveway plowed, but nobody would come out and plow our driveway because we were literally the last house on the left of like a dirt road. So we went about a week without any propane. And
my
so it was like
goodness.
Cold showers, all of that. It got so cold in our house that our fish died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They froze. Yeah. And I guess I should set the stage here because I think it's a common misconception for a lot of people, myself included. The fact that Flagstaff is in Arizona, it doesn't mean it's like Phoenix getting like 118 degrees. It's like, what, 8,000 feet elevation or something there?
I think we're about 8,000 feet. So we get snow. I mean, our summers don't even really get that hot here. So, but if it's like a 2-hour drive to Phoenix and then it is like, you know, 170 degrees there. And
yeah. So kind of to piggyback on that point, it is a lot more like Oregon, kind of like Klamath Falls, like where you're from. It gets cold. And Yeah, I remember going down there to check out your shop right before it opened up. I had no idea that it was like this whole other climate. I thought all of Arizona was just like Death Valley.
Exactly. Yeah, there is that big misconception, and a lot of people are like, oh, I bet you guys are dying in the heat. And like, no, actually, it's not like that at all.
But 5 days.
Yeah. I wore a hoodie this morning, actually. I don't know what you're talking about.
For sure. That's the way it is. But that's why we chose Flagstaff, because it is so much like Oregon and it's so much like home to us. So
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now another little wrinkle in that story is while you're eating dinner by candlelight and lanterns and no heat, no water, this is all going on. Your husband, Mike, worked for the railroads down in Slave Falls, and he had to stay back for a while and continue to work while you were trying to get the shop open. So how did you guys get through that point? That had to have been challenging.
It was almost a year and a half apart from each other.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
Honestly, it wasn't as hard as a lot as you would think, because we both just stayed so busy. He just worked as much as he could, and then I just really focused on, you know, getting the stand going, and we had all of the crew and everything that were still new, and so it was kind of a blessing in disguise that we really didn't have to worry about one another, like eye on the prize, and just made our sacrifices, and now everything is just as good as it could be. I mean, it's amazing just because we had that little chunk of time apart, and now it's like we get to make up for lost time and stuff now. So it's really good.
It's so easy to kind of get tunnel vision and get trapped where you are. But the fact that you guys had your eye on the prize, like you said, and you could see the big picture and just make it work and be like, this is only a season. It's going to be a challenging, you know, we're going to miss each other, but the end goal, everything's going to be awesome. I admire you guys a lot for that. Way to make that work.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm a big baby. I'd miss my wife, and I'd
yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to see so big picture. I'd be like, come home.
Oh, yeah. No, there was definitely a lot of tears shed and stuff, but you got to do what you got to do and got to be there. We made it work.
Well, the next person that's like, oh, man, I put so much hard work into getting my Dutch Bros up and running. I'm sure you did, but talk to Sam Sanchez about it, but you didn't have to leave your spouse for a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you're a tough, tough gal.
How many shops do you have currently now?
We just have the one. We're supposed to break ground November 1st for our second location.
Sick. Yeah, I knew two was around the corner. I just wasn't sure exactly dates yet.
It's been a long time coming for sure, but finally, we have a date.
Coming up soon.
Grand opening, maybe like late spring-ish, maybe early summer, something around that time.
Well, it kind of depends on how bad our winter is, because everyone's saying we're going to have a doozy of a winter, so that could set us back a little bit. We'll see.
You're going to have plenty of water and propane this time, right? You're ready for it?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, we even have a fireplace in case all else fails.
The one stand, obviously, it's been doing well, and you got to staff up for that. And then now, sooner than later, you got to prepare for stand two. So what's the main thing you look for when you're hiring someone to work in the stands?
I would say I'm always like looking for like a good, genuine smile whenever I meet someone that I'm like interviewing.
Yeah.
The other thing, whenever I'm interviewing, and it's usually you can tell like right away during the interview, but I always look for anything negative that the person says. Like if they say anything negative at all during the interview, then it's an absolute no.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
So I tie in, how was your last job, or how was your last boss? And if there's anything negative like about that, then it's a no right off the bat. But if they say like, oh, it was a learning experience, or you know, can turn it into positive stuff, then that's something that I look for. Because if they're willing to say anything negative about their past job or past experiences, then they're going to probably send that out the window also.
Yeah, I like that. That's wise. Generally speaking, I think that's probably true. If they're quick to only focus on the negative, that might just be a habit that person has regularly. That's cool. I've never heard anybody actually phrase it that way, but I think that's a good practical tool to look for.
Usually it comes pretty quick into the interview process.
So when you transitioned from Klamath Falls to Flagstaff, what's some of the challenges that you didn't expect to have as a franchisee operator?
Probably just going as big as we did straight from the beginning. I mean, going from Klamath, where I managed a crew of, I think, 12, mm-hmm. and then we jumped up straight to like almost 40 people. Now we're almost at 50.
Ooh, yeah.
And trying to have like a good balance of having those relationships with your crew and being able to like give 100% to each one of them.
Yeah.
I think that's been probably one of the bigger challenges, is maintaining those relationships from going from such a small, tiny stand to the bigger, crazy chaos of it all.
Is there anything that you found that you can do to connect with people a little bit more on an intimate level?
So I've made more of a recent change that I'm trying to do one-on-ones every quarter with everyone.
Oh, nice.
Before, I would just kind of let them reach out to me whenever they wanted to meet up. But now I'm making it a point to reach out to everyone and do those like one-on-ones just to see how everyone's doing and stuff. And we're starting up a culture crew also, because we have our warehouse. So get-togethers and stuff like that, where somebody else is more in charge of setting those up. Instead of just me, because I have a lot going on, but I'll show up to them. Somebody else can plan it.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. That was such a big part of K Falls, was like you guys were such a tight community and there was just always things going on. But as you grow and the stand gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it just gets so much harder. And you've got, you know, a marriage to put time and energy into as well. So yeah,
right.
I think it's awesome to empower some of those other people on your crew that can really fire on all cylinders with the culture and be more of a facilitator and get things going. That's good stuff, Sam.
Absolutely.
Always good stuff
thanks.
With Sam Sanchez.
Are you still active in the stands? Do you still hop in there? And
I don't work as much inside the stand as I'd like to. It makes it really hard because almost every time I am working on shift, something pops up and I have to walk away for a minute or something.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to give 100% when I am working on shift, but I'm still probably there once a week, once every 2 weeks, actually just scheduled to work.
Nice.
But other than that, like I'm in and out of the stand pretty much every day, constantly.
It's cool, like at this point, that you still have at least a little bit of time to just get back to the stands and be still connected to the roots of it all. As stand 2 comes and maybe eventually stand 3, I know that's almost going to be not even possible for you to do anymore.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to try and make it work, but it does get harder.
Yeah. Well, other than a second shop coming up very shortly, what's next for Sam Sanchez?
That's a good question. We've had so many transfers and stuff with the school year.
Mm.
We're just really focusing on, you know, what's next with our current location and how to keep up with the times. We've just been getting busier and busier. So it's kind of just that and location number 2 and trying to mentally prepare for the chaos that's going to happen soon with that.
You do like the hiring party for when you're about to be open? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so currently with all of our applicants that we have now, I have them send their resumes to me through email, and then they also send me a 1-minute video.
Mm,
and it weeds out the people that are just looking for a job, and then like people that really want the job, they'll actually send in a 1-minute video. So it's kind of a pre-interview process doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a ton of applicants already, so I'm not sure that we'll even have to have a hiring party for our second location, because we have just a ton that are still trying to apply and everything just for our current location.
The Dutch Bros brand and Flagstaff is doing well.
Oh, yeah. It's insane how many people come in and want jobs. I mean, it's the new hangout spot for the high school and all that. So, I mean, it's a good feeling definitely when you have a bunch of kids that just want to hang out at your location.
Totally. You know, we don't want to go too long. We're taking up a lot of your time, and I greatly appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, of course. We've been talking about doing this for years now.
I know. Flagstaff's far away. It's tough. And
it is.
You still running? Because I know there's a big running community down there in Flagstaff.
Well, I did hurt my back. It's been a long existing back problem, and I just really, for some reason, just really irritated it. So it's been like close to 6 months of recovering from that, but I'm getting back into it. I'm like 6 weeks back into it.
Nice. Yeah, so, I know you were definitely slaying it there for a while. I don't think I really have an excuse. My knees kind of started hurting pretty bad after that second Hood to Coast, but then I just gave up on life. I need to be better.
We were talking about doing a half marathon here in, I think, January or something. So
that's big.
Yeah, we'll see if we can pull it off, though. This elevation is definitely, it's no joke.
Yeah, like they can barely breathe at 8,000 feet. That's intense.
But once they come down to regular elevation, they're just going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I would do great at doing, you know, like a coast run or something, but trying to run up here, I'm not fit at all.
Well, you're running a stand. That takes a lot of energy.
Exactly. That's a, you know, a marathon a day.
Absolutely. Friggin' almost 50 people. Jeez.
Exactly.
Well, Sam, we always like to wrap this up like kind of the same way. If you could just give one piece of advice to Dutch Nation or just anybody who's listening, what would it be?
Don't compare yourself. Everyone's battle is different. So we have a lot of people that, you know, are comparing themselves to getting a manager position or whatever position they're wanting. And they're always comparing themselves to the next person. And that's one thing that always kind of bothers me is you're not them. So don't compare yourself and don't rush the process either.
Prime example is you opened Flagstaff in 2016, right?
Yeah.
And you got hired in 2007. So, I mean, that's a 9-year time of patience and just stay in the course to finally get in that spot. So, great advice.
Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you. I know you're busy down there, and I feel very privileged that you answer the phone when I call.
Of course. We got lots of good memories.
Absolutely. Probably a handful that we shouldn't talk about on this podcast.
Right?
But hey, Dutch Nation, we love you guys out there. And you don't have to compare yourself to anybody else.
Be yourself.
Absolutely. What you do is special. What you do matters. Sam, just looking forward to seeing you continue to shine down there. Can't wait for Flagstaff 2.
Yep.
You got a fun nickname for that one yet?
No, not yet.
Was Swagstaff the first one? Was that what we were calling it? Or somebody was calling it? Yeah. Swaggy, swaggy.
Swaggy, swaggy.
I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head, and it's not coming.
No, that was me earlier, too. We've been tossing this idea around for a while.
Hey, well, you still got some time. All right, cool. Dutch Nation, we love you.
Peace.
Peace.
Bye.